Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
The Pocota projections by Baseball Prospectus has the Cubs dead last in the NL Central, while Fangraphs have them winning the division. Which is closer to the truth and why?
I think Fangraphs is closer to the truth because I think the Cubs are better. Listen, I think the division is really good, and I think it got better. I think Fangraphs has Milwaukee dead last. So, you know, both different research vehicles have one team going from the top to the bottom, whether it's the Cubs, who have dominated the division for a number of years now, or it's the Brewers, who won it last year. So I choose to believe that the Cubs are going to have a bounce back. I just think they are. I think that other than Javi Baez and maybe a couple other guys, for the most part, everybody was at a career low. I you know, even Rizzo, I know his numbers were fine by the end of the year, but he started really slow. And I think the sense of urgency thing is real. I think they understand they got to come out and win. I think there's a lot of guys that have a chip on their shoulder that have something to prove. And I think the fact that everybody's turned up as early as they have in camp is an indication of that. I think Schwarber wants to be better. I think Yu Darvish, I like the way he's bounced back, and just mentally he's there to win, and he wants to win for Chicago, and he wants to do something. He's saying all the right things. I know it's just noise, but everybody that's talked seems to understand what their predicament is and what they need to do to get out of it. So I choose to believe that the Cubs are going to have a pretty damn good year, because I think that their baseline talent is real good. And I think that they can't really – I think that we saw the low. Is that okay to say? That we saw the ground. I don't think the elevator shaft is going to break to another level and they're all going to collapse. I think they got a lot of young guys that can get better. And that's why I think they'll win the division rather than lose the whole thing.
You refer to that as low, and they won 95 games last year.
But didn't it feel that way?
Yeah, it did feel that way, because emotionally that was what you felt after the season, and the expectations were much higher than that. I don't get the difference, as we pointed out earlier in the segment, between how do two, you know, metrics-y organizations become so different on where the Cubs will finish. 88 victories versus 80 victories. Fangraphs has the Cubs projected to win 88. Pocota, Cubs at 80. That's 15 games worse, 15 victories fewer than last year. I don't look at that team and see a 15-game difference on the roster. I think they're going to be very good. I think the Fangraphs is probably closer to the truth. Still, 88 victories, 7 victories fewer than 2018, and I think this is a pretty good team. The only question I have about the Cubs has to do with the closer, the back end of the bullpen, which I think you could, you know, we'll talk about a lot, and Brandon Morrow and Pedro Strop and whoever may be the reliever to be named later. But my guess would be, based on everything, the urgency, the roster, the people returning, the bounce back seasons, Fangraphs, to me, is closer to the truth with 88 victories predicted than 80.
Pocota, player empirical comparison and optimization test algorithm. That is Pocota. And it is just it's just basically they take the numbers from last year and they run them through a computer.
Maybe it's based mostly on last year's performance.
That's
and
what
last
is.
Year was a down year for a lot of guys in that roster. Exactly. So that's why I put more faith in Fangraphs.
Even though these two sites are complete opposite in first place and last place, is there really a big gap? Not a ton, because Pocota, I know the headlines, oh, Cubs in last place, what do you, give me your thoughts. But they're also saying one game from third place, too, because they have the two teams above them.
But
only
80
one
victories,
game
Joe, that's a losing record.
It
that's
a
losing season.
What I found most interesting about how they have the NL Central for both websites is they both have the division winner at 88 games, and they both have the last place team around 79-80 wins. Competitive. That's what both sites are telling you, that every team in this division is competitive and it's deeper than any other division in all of baseball. I side with Fangraphs here. David, you mentioned it. A 15-win drop-off. I have my concerns about the bullpen. I think they still need to add more. Asking John Lester at this stage in his career to repeat that first half, that's a lot. Cole Hamels, is he going to go on a run like that? Probably not. But there are numerous bounce-back candidates. I mean, and yet we're talking about the Cubs around or below 500. No, I side with Fangraphs on this one.
I personally don't put a whole lot of stock in either one of these projections or any preseason projections for that matter, because from a fan perspective, I don't want to get too high or too low, as if, you know, I'm speaking as if I'm on the team. I don't want to go in too high or too low emotionally. But I tend to lean towards Fangraphs as well, because as you guys all brought up, I mean, the drop off from this Pecota projection is just crazy. So I'm leaning towards Fangraphs as well for that same reason. I mean, I think, Molly, you brought this up. There's kind of like, we're on the other end of the spectrum with this Cubs team, whereas you went into 2017 after the World Series and you had the World Series hangover, if you want to call it that, or whatever. They came out flat. Now, you know, this is a team that didn't make it as far into the postseason for the first time. They were eliminated in the wild card for the first time in 3 years, 4 years. And they have a chip on their shoulder, and they're hungry. They feel like they have something to prove. So I'm going to side with baseball. With Fangraphs for that very reason.
I'm not the metrics guy, but
really?
It's fun to talk about. It's fun at this time of year to have something to at least put up on the wall and
right.
go over and chew on. That part.
We
I like
look
about
forward
it.
To Pecota, Dustin. Right. You always print it out immediately,
right.
and we
it's,
get to it.
It's yep. Pecota Day, right? You know that it's coming. It's part of the like Advil and bottle of water you need after a night out. It's kind of the what you need after the Super Bowl Sunday, and then you realize that football is really gone. Even though we do have the AAF, it's fine, but dead last, and then when you really get it broken down by guys like Connor McKnight and Dan Bernstein, and we're talking about framing pitches, and you're going to tell me that the Brewers are 32 runs better than the Cubs because some guy that couldn't block a ball in the World Series is now catching for the Brewers? And while I'm on the Brewers, okay, trust me, I'll be at a game at Miller Park watching the Cubs at Wrigley Field North.
So, next question.
Sounds like a threat.
Trying to block him.
What pitcher is more likely to have a bounce-back season? Tyler Chatwood, Lucas Giolito, or Yu Darvish?
Oh, brother. Well, first of all...
What a trifecta.
Yeah. Tyler Chatwood, hearing yesterday his explanation of how he has fixed his mechanical issues and how his right arm was jabbing toward the third baseline and left him prone to some wildness. Okay, great. But I thought we had covered that ground last year. There were some mechanical issues that he's tried to correct. It seemed like a story we had heard before. It seems like something we're going to go through again. I have very little faith in a Tyler Chatwood. Lucas Giolito, understand him a little bit more. Young pitcher trying to find his way. I think he had some good moments, some bad moments. He was up and down like you expect a lot of young guys. The neurotransmitters weren't all functioning. The neurofeedback that he has now discovered maybe will tell him he's in for the bounce back season. I don't know what to think about Yu Darvish until his daily press briefing today. So I'm waiting to hear some more optimism out of the mouth of a Yu Darvish. And this year he means it. I think, though, of those three, it's a tough one because I have very little faith probably in all of them. I'll go with Yu.
I'm with you. To me, Chatwood was – I just don't see how you get out of it. I don't see where – he says he's still a starting pitcher. Ahead of who? I mean, barring injury, and Monty's ahead of him in terms of trying to get a starting pitcher going. I don't quite understand how he could be a starting pitcher.
He might
pitcher.
Be for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't think a guy that walks people will help you much in the bullpen. If he has control issues, how do you go to him and bring him in? That's a hard one to imagine how he's going to get better. Lucas Giolito, I think this this neurofeedback sounds like a lot of noise. That was just a pun. Yu Darvish is the man. No question about it. You had, you know why Yu Darvish is the one to take out of this? Because he's done it before. Period. End of story. Yu Darvish has had some good Major League Baseball seasons. He's a professional. He was a he was one of these guys that's come in as a star when he arrived and has acted like a star and obviously went off the boil. But I really believe that Yu's going to have that bounce back year, and I think they're going to need him to.
As far as Chatwood goes, I mean, you're just hoping for something. This is Tommy Hotovy's big project. Can you salvage something out of Chatwood? They clearly overpaid the guy, thought, we get him out of Coors Field, he'll be much better. Look at the splits. Didn't work out. So, bounce back. You're just looking for something. Giolito entering his second full season. He would have flashes, but he never had a stretch of games of much consistency. So I question that. I go back to Darvish. You guys mentioned it. We've seen it before from him. The biggest issue last season, he wasn't available, was all the injuries he was dealing with. And we've also seen some players, those big-ticket free agents, really struggle first season in a new city, and then they bounce back a little bit in the second year. John Lester was not bad in his first year here, but the reaction was, oh, see, he's not worth all this money. Came back the next year, his ERA dipped nearly a full run, and we've seen that with other guys throughout baseball, dealing with all that pressure in that first season. They get settled in and bounce back. As long as he can stay healthy, Darvish is the bounce back candidate of the three.
Yeah, Chatwood, Giolito, Darvish, all these guys have something to prove this season, but I'm also going with Yu Darvish on this. They all have something to prove, but I think Yu Darvish has the most to prove because of the contract. He's already come out and said he wants to prove himself to the Cubs, to Chicago. I feel like he, again, this is kind of like a theme for the 2019 season for the Cubs. Instead of own it now, it's kind of like a chip on the shoulder of the entire team.
Prove it now.
Exactly. So I think Yu Darvish wants to prove it more than anybody. Although, I mean, I look at how bad that Tyler Chatwood season was. That was such an ugly, terrible, embarrassing season. So I know he wants to bounce back, and I think he will do better because how could you do worse? But I think it's all about Yu Darvish. I think he will have the bounce back.
Well, first of all, it's Tyler Chatwalk, and it's Lucas Walk This Way Giolito. It better be Yu Darvish, okay? I mean, those two guys walk guys for a living last year, okay? I mean, if they were paid on walks, they'd both be Cy Young winners, Tyler Chatwalk and Giolito. It's got to be Yu Darvish with this group, and it's basically because of what's expected and what's paid to these guys, right? I mean, it absolutely positively has to be Yu Darvish. The bar was set so low, he so underperformed last year, and now he's talking, right? So now he's talking and talking and just pitch, okay? Don't get nervous against the White Sox in a Cactus League game. Let's just start there, okay? Just pitch, you.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
What do reports of Manny Machado's secret meeting with the San Diego Padres mean to the White Sox?
Well, you know, I read a report yesterday about this, and my response was just simply said,
But I told you it was going to happen. I told you it was going
to
happen yesterday.
Yeah, you told me the Sox were signing him.
I'm like, what happened to that?
Yeah, I don't know. You got me all fired up. Jeez. But I did. I let out a pretty loud scream when I saw that, and I threw my fist up toward the heavens, and I damned my life. I took my hat off and threw it on the ground and stomped on it. No, I didn't get it.
Hope that wasn't at your fancy lunch restaurant.
No, I didn't do that.
Okay.
Listen, you can't hurt me. I'm the Teflon fan. It just slides right off me. No. Am I upset? Come on. Why would I be upset? I told you I wasn't emotionally connected to this. You can't touch me. You can't hurt me.
This is a torturous turn, not a good one. No news is bad news for the White Sox. I think when you look at how this has lingered and now the Padres, they went to Manny, which I think is interesting. I think obviously.
What about the locker?
No, the locker. There's the locker. Who will fill the locker?
Right next to Drake.
That's Drake's locker. How could they fill Drake's locker with anybody but Manny? Not a good thing. The Padres may swoop in and spoil everything. And then what happens? You know, go sign Bryce Harper. Let Manny sign with the White Sox. I don't know. I'm surprised the Padres are still involved, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised the Padres are still involved. It seems like they're intent on getting one of these two guys. And I want to read a report about Kenny Williams or Rick Hahn or Jerry going to Miami to meet with Manny. Not the Padres general manager and ownership.
Or Southpaw.
How about Southpaw?
Make it stop. Make it stop. Yeah, I saw the news. I'm like, okay. Another rumor. Fine. First thing I thought was that many believe the Phillies are going to sign one of the two no matter what. We don't know if that's the case. But now the Padres, because they recently met with Bryce Harper too. Now they're putting the pressure on. They're in on both guys. The Sox are in on one. We haven't heard anything. Nationally, I'll read some stuff, say, oh, yeah, the Sox are in on Harper too. We haven't seen anything that suggests that. It seems like all of their eggs are in the Manny Machado basket with the friends and family plan, all that stuff. Does it mean we're closer? No, I don't think so. There was also a report that says mid-March, maybe, is when one of these guys is going to sign. So I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think we're close on anything.
My immediate thought about this meeting between the Padres and Machado was watch out, White Sox, because of the similarity. Like, there are a lot of parallels here between these two teams, the Padres and the White Sox. The forecast for the 2019 season is very dismal. It's not going to be their year, either team, but they both have a lot of high-end prospects, so 2020 could be the year for that is competitive for either one of these teams. So these are both enticing if I'm Manny Machado. So that's my takeaway. This is a serious contender here that jumped in. This could be the mystery team we've been hearing about.
I think this is all just more shenanigans trying to drive the price up. I mean, if he ends up with the San Diego Padres and instead of the White Sox, you should feel as a White Sox fan, fine. Okay, if that's what you want, Manny, listen, San Diego's beautiful, okay? But Manny Machado, no matter where he plays baseball, can go visit and live wherever he wants. Okay, the idea that you need to live in the city or this—I mean, it's a bunch of hooey. Okay, you spend half the year on the road. You spend part of the summer in the city that you don't have to live here to play here. You can live wherever you want. Your wife can shop wherever she wants to shop. The Padres are a joke of an organization. Nobody will even know he exists. It's the Mike Trout issue.
They've got the best farm system in baseball right now.
Great.
They got the best weather in America right now.
It's never going to be 45 degrees on May 5th in San Diego.
Weather's actually better in Florida right now. I mean, assuming you want
it. In the summer, all the humidity.
Oh, I hate the sweat.
The humidity is something else. Humidity.
The humanity.
That'll get you.
I got it.
That's a good question, David.
What Blackhawks goalie do you trust the most in a playoff run? Cam Ward, Colin Delia, or Corey Crawford?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that when you look at the been there, done that aspect of this, Corey Crawford, every day of the week. Corey Crawford is the guy that you want in a playoff run. Corey Crawford is the guy you want to put in the crease as soon as he's ready to get there. And when that will be depends on Corey Crawford and his return, but it seems like that's a matter of when, not if. It seems like he is going to be the guy that gives it another shot. He's been out a long time. There's a lot of concern over his future. There's a lot of legitimate and valid concerns over whether or not it's the right idea for him to come back, but that's up to him. That's not up to anybody else to make a judgment on Corey Crawford's future. When you look at what the Hawks have at that position, they have right now some real quality depth. I think that they went to Colin Delia and they said earlier in the week, hey, here's a 3-year extension offer, $1 million per year. We value you. We like that you came out of nowhere. We want to develop you. And by the way, this in the back of their minds, it had to be like, by the way, you might not be part of this team in a couple weeks. We have to send you down to Rockford to finish the season. It'd be very unusual for them to carry three goaltenders. Jeremy Colleton addressed that yesterday. I do think it'd be unusual. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but I think they gave him the extension knowing that this might be coming. Cam Ward's an excellent backup. Corey Crawford's your guy, though, if you're making a run.
Yeah, I think I'd have to rate Cam Ward number one because he's doing it and I'm seeing it. I agree with everything you said about Corey Crawford, David, but the big if is what stops me from putting him first, because I don't know if he's coming back and I don't know if he won't take another hit. And if he does, I don't know that he's coming back again. So I think the big if is what would stop me from saying Corey Crawford. But Cam Ward's been on fire, and he's been very good. And I think that's great insight on the million-a-year contract for Delia. I think you're absolutely right about that. But I'll go with Ward at this point because I understand that Corey Crawford could come back, but I'm not hooking my wagon to that idea.
If both guys are healthy and the question is, who do you want? It's a simple answer. It's Corey Crawford. But the question is, who do you trust most in a playoff run? And do you trust Crawford? Even if he is back on the ice, do you think he's going to be out there for a long period of time? I have to lean no based on the last couple of years. Maybe Cam Ward can be that hot goalie that you find every season in the NHL. Five-game winning streak. He's allowed only 11 goals in these five games. So I'll go with Ward.
I look at these three names, Ward, Delia, and Crawford, and I cannot help myself but to pick Crawford. And I understand you guys all brought up the questions surrounding his health and if he comes back, how he'll perform. And yeah, Joe, you just brought up his performance the past couple of years. But when it comes down to playoff time, I just have to believe that Corey Crawford would be at the top of his game as long as he's healthy. So I'm going with Crawford based on the sheer experience of this guy.
Yeah, it's the been there, done that factor for me as well. Now, Joe, I think you make a good point. Okay, I think that the Cam Ward could be that guy, right? That goalie that could. It happens every year in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Some goalie on some team that you didn't think of is going to stand on his head, as they like to say for some reason. Where does that come from?
It's a hockey thing.
I get the five hole. I understand that, but like,
well, you don't stand on your five hole.
You
stand on your head means that it's a common sports term in different sports. It basically means that you are making so many acrobatic saves that you're doing some sort of gymnastics.
You could do it all.
You're like a circus act.
Yes.
Okay. I got it. Thank you. See, the education of Dustin Rhodes continues. I'll go with Corey Crawford, though. I hope that it's fun. You know, honestly, I said to David this morning, I said, you know, we're kind of drinking the Blackhawks Kool-Aid right now. Mully, you said you're going to the game this weekend,
yep,
right?
I
said to David, I said, if they win this weekend, I said, I think the city as a whole will be back on board.
They're
right?
Two points out.
Right. I'm saying, I don't know if everybody's there yet. They should be. You should be. This is, it's exciting. What they're doing is, what Kane is doing is unbelievable. I mean, if you're this, he is so special. And for people like a month ago, oh, trade Kane. You can't trade. This is a generational. You know, we talked about Chris Sale at one point, Mully, and it was a great topic about Sale being maybe the most underappreciated athlete in Chicago. I'll tell you what, right now, Patrick Kane might be the most underappreciated.
Think he's underappreciated. I think, Dustin, it's a good question. I think he might be the best athlete, the top of his game guy on any team in this town.
I agree with you, but he's talked
just a shade ahead of Khalil Mack. But I would think he is.
But he's talked about nowhere near like Khalil Mack is talked about.
Well, that's true.
That's because hockey's a niche sport. And no matter how good the Blackhawks are,
right,
it's always going to be, you're going to face that obstacle that it doesn't relate to everybody in the way that the Bears do in Chicago. But I would agree with you.
But if you're looking for something to fill your time with.
Absolutely.
Okay, in your post still long hated Super Bowl hangover.
Give hockey a chance.
Get on board with the Blackhawks. Yeah. Sip some black and red Kool-Aid.
No question.
You know, I'm glad you asked that question.
What do you make of Jay Glazer's prediction that Odell Beckham Jr. will be traded in the offseason? With OBJ and Antonio Brown available, would you consider clearing out cap space and using Allen Robinson as trade bait?
So we're pretending to be Ryan Pace here. And
It's
you know, who's the better player?
We really
Allen
like
Robinson.
Allen. Allen's really good in our
Allen
offense.
Allen would cost a $7 million cap hit if we were to do that. But you could get rid of enough people to give yourself enough space. And I guess the question is, would you try to trade Allen Robinson, throw in the running back, Jordan Howard, maybe, I don't know what else you could do. You'd have to come up with more than that, and really you need draft picks more than anything else. But if you could put together some sort of a package, would you be willing to go after an Odell Beckham Jr. or an Antonio Brown? I think that would be unbelievable. I think either of those guys would make your offense significantly better. I think Allen Robinson has some good stuff in front of him, and I you know, again, we found out about his fractured ribs, which explains why he wasn't. We were asking, why isn't this guy? Why aren't they feeding the ball to him more? And apparently, the answer was injuries, and that was a guy coming off a knee. So you have to take all that into account. But you know, the NFL increasingly has gone toward the passing game, and when you're talking about if you were to get an Antonio Brown, now you're stretching the field. Now it's not just trying to widen the field. Now you're stretching it and you're going over the top more. And that is a very valuable thing to have, especially with some of the other weapons you have. I don't think they have enough ammunition to do it. I think you have to take a look at it and you have to make some hard decisions. And there are hard decisions they can make. But I think they're probably closer with what they have. I don't think they need to make a move like that. That's a real splash move, and there are teams out there that have a ton of cap space. But Robinson in particular, Brown in particular, that contract wouldn't kill you because the Steelers would have to pay so much of it. So they would conceivably, if you talk them into it, they could get a guy that could replace him, a pretty high-quality player in his own right. They also have the added benefit of moving him out of the AFC. But I don't believe that the Bears have enough collateral. I don't think they have enough, even if they start trading some of their own players. I think the draft stuff is going to be more valuable, and that's what teams want. And I don't think I'd do it because I don't think I'd want to injure my team in other ways. But what a great idea to get that over-the-top kind of speed element to what you're doing.
Not at the expense of losing Allen Robinson, though. I think it's an interesting question, but
you'd
I don't think...
You'd rather have Allen Robinson?
No, I'm not saying that. But I don't think that you have a guarantee if you get rid of Allen Robinson, you're going to get either one of these guys. I think it's too big of a gamble. I don't know that you want to get...
You use him as trade bait. You trade him.
Yeah, I don't know how that would necessarily work because $7.2 million in cap space, his cap... I don't know that that would necessarily be something you would be able to do because I don't think you have the draft capital to pull it off either.
That's right. That's
if you're looking at making a move to clear space, I mean, I would be more inclined if the question involved Kyle Long and moving his salary slot out and you slide in somebody else into that gives you a lot more cap room. Maybe he's a trade piece, but even then, I think it would be something that. Is far-fetched. They don't have the space. They don't have the capital. And I don't think they have the need. I think everybody can find room for Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. in their offense because those are guys who are two of the top five probably receivers in football. But I think when you look at the Bears, they're not looking to make the dramatic impact to the roster. They are a kicker away from, competing from going on a Super Bowl run, and that's the way they have to look at it. I think that's the way they ended the season, so they're not looking to make these big dramatic shifts to the roster, and I just don't know that it's necessary to do that.
So the Giants are going to move on from Beckham, and they're going to bring back Eli Manning, maybe? I guess. Okay. What I make of it is that some of these teams are sick of the diva receiver and everything that comes along with it right now. But I wonder if Odell Beckham was in a winning situation, how he would be. Five seasons in the league, he's been in third or fourth place in the NFC East in four of those 5 years. I do wonder how he would be as a Bear. Allen Robinson is not on the level of Brown or Beckham. So I think you would definitely have an upgrade. And yeah, what do you end up giving up? So moving on from Allen Robinson, if you're able to land one of these guys and I see an upgrade, if you're not giving up too much, yeah, I would make that move. David brought up Cody Parkey. Well, also score some points, more than one touchdown. You could also be moving on, and who knows what happens in the NFC playoffs. So there was a report the other day that AB would cost a mid-round pick. If that's the price, I know you've given up a lot of picks already. If that's the price, I would consider that.
That can't be accurate. That's got to be more. I mean, Amari Cooper brought a first rounder.
Well, and the other thing is the other element is his contract.
His age 31, season two.
Yeah, but his contract is so it is so fouled up that Pittsburgh takes all the money on.
And he's very affordable.
Right. He'd be like $11 million, which is good for a guy that good.
What I make of this reporting is that, yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. is not happy in New York. Yeah, we knew that already. Of course. And maybe it's the fact that Eli Manning is looking like he's probably going to be the quarterback again, and he's just not happy with the situation. So I'm not at all surprised by this, that there's a prediction that he'll be away from this Giants team in this offseason. In my dreams, the Bears would get Beckham or Antonio Brown, but as you guys brought up, there's this deficit in draft capital, and there's just not a way to there's not a package you could come up with to make this happen. I don't believe, but it would be a game changer on the offense. And David, I know you said the Bears are just a kicker away from a trip to the Super Bowl, but you can never have too much talent, man. You know, it just can't happen. It's a dream, a fantasy.
Breaking news, a star NFL wide receiver is unhappy. Wow, news at 6. I'm not shocked at all by Glazer's reporting. I'm sure Glazer's right. I'm sure OBJ wants out. I'm sure Giants ownership can't believe they fell for his showing up to the OTAs and stuff, and, oh, I've changed, and I'm this and I'm that, and they fell for it, and he's the same exact guy. Now, Mully, if you're telling me that we could keep, we meaning the Bears, could keep Allen Robinson and get one of these guys, fine. But I'm not running. See, what one of the things that I also like a lot about Allen Robinson is he's not your typical prototype prima donna NFL wide receiver. Low maintenance, okay?
For a wide receiver, incredible.
And the whole, what was one of the big things off of the Cody Parkey Today Show interview, right? Me, not we, okay? Those two wide receivers, they're the definition of me and not we. So, no, I don't like this at all.
Because it's just not one of those things where it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it just seems like a odd fit.
Right. But, I mean, you'd have to take a chance and roll the bones that these guys would be motivated, that the winning situation would turn them into better players.
I mean, I'd be more interested to go after the running back from the Steelers, okay, Le'Veon Bell. I think that position could put the Bears up another level as opposed to one of those two guys. That's more attractive to me.
But that's massive cap space.
I understand I'm talking about right now, winning right now.
Well, maybe he'd get 4 touches, though.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He might get 14, right?
Wow, that's pretty awesome. A gratuitous slap at Matt Nagy for no reason other than...
Well, there's reasons.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, other than the fact that he didn't use Tariq Cohen, don't ask him about it. All right, that is the 5 and 5. What do you think? 312-644-6767. Are you on the side of Pakoda and Baseball Prospectus, or do you prefer Fangraphs? Whatever prediction gives you the most wins, I suppose. What pitcher more likely to have the bounce-back season? Tyler Chatwood, Lucas Giolito, Yu Darvish. One of those things is not like the other. What do you make of reports that Manny Machado had a secret meeting with the San Diego Padres? What does that mean to the White Sox? I like this one, too. What goalie do you trust most in a playoff run? Is it Cam Ward? Is it Colin Delia? Is it Corey Crawford? And what do you make of the Jay Glazer prediction that Odell Beckham Jr. will be traded in the offseason? And with a couple of high-profile wide receivers, OBJ and Antonio Brown, available, would you consider clearing out cap space and trying to use someone like Allen Robinson as trade bait to get a deal done? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.